Turn with me in your Bible this morning to 1 John chapter 4. As we continue our study of 1 John, what a significant passage of scripture this is. And remember the setting of 1 John is a very real, obvious, visual situation. Group of professing Christians called Gnostics have gained quite a following. And they left the churches. And this was a perplexing situation for many true believers. For these people at one time seemed to be a part of them. But as it says in 1 John 2, they went out from us because they were not of us. And we are reminded that one of the key words in 1 John is the word of. English word of, O-F. Very big, big word. Most of the times, it translates the Greek word ek, which means out of, or a preposition that speaks of source. And they went out from us because they were not of us. They didn't have the same source. They did not have the same birth that we had. And because of that, it showed up in their doctrine. And the eventuality of that was that great group, large group of religious people claiming to be Christians, separated from the true churches and became a very known dissenting and contradictory voice even in the first century. Hard for us to understand that while the apostles were still alive, that these false religious groups rose and flourished. And, you know, in the back of our mind, we would like, somehow we like to think that that couldn't take place, you know, while the great apostle Paul was alive and the great apostle John and all that, but... that wasn't the way it was. And that is the setting for what we are looking at today. And we are recognizing that there are actually many voices in the world. And the question is, which voice do you hear? There's many voices. The question is, which voice do you hear? And the voice that you hear tells everything about who you are. Tells everything about who you are. And so, wow. What voice do you hear? As we look at this passage of Scripture, we are dealt with the fact that in that first century, near the end of the first century, the fact is that there were many false prophets. Verse 1. Believe it, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God. Whether they're sources of God or not. Because many, many false prophets are gone out into the world. Many. Can you imagine that first century? The apostolic age. Many false prophets. And of course, the word prophet is that word which means to someone who is claiming to speak on behalf of God. And the Bible says there's multitudes of false prophets, many people claiming to speak on God's behalf, reiterating God's word, God's spokesman, but they're not God's spokesman. They're not speaking God's word. They're not declaring God's truth. They are false. They are false prophets. And, of course, the Apostle Paul talked about false apostles in 2 Corinthians chapter 11. The sad thing is, wherever the Apostle Paul went, either these people tried to get ahead of him, or they tried to follow him as quickly as possible to poison and to disrupt whatever ministry he had. And certainly they even went to the great church at Corinth and tried to do as much harm as possible. And we get a little sense of that. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 1, would to God ye would bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy. For I have espoused you as one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin in Christ, pure. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit which ye have not received, or another gospel which ye have not accepted, ye might bear well with him. Wow. This was the issue. They were deceiving through trickery and the people that had heard the gospel. They were preaching another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, a different Jesus. Oh, they said they called it Jesus of the Bible, but it really was a different Jesus. They were giving him a different identity. That's hard for us to comprehend, but how could they preach another Jesus? Well, I illustrate it this way. When you go to a church that has worldly, sensual rock music that they say is worshiping God, that's preaching another Jesus. That's teaching contrary to the Bible. The Jesus of the Bible is holy. He is pure. He is not worldly. And he cannot be approached with sensual, devilish music. But a God who can be approached with sensual, devilish, worldly music, that's a different God than the Bible, but they give him the same name. Another Jesus and another spirit. You know, there's a group called the United Pentecostals, and they say that after you're saved, you have to pray for the Holy Spirit, and then the Holy Spirit will come in you, and you will speak in quote unquote tongues. Well, I say to them, then what spirit did you get when you got saved? If now you got to need to get another spirit that will give you the power to speak in these so-called tongues, another spirit. And, this is another gospel. Of course, the Judaizers, they preach another gospel. It wasn't good enough to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. You had to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you had to be circumcised in order to be saved. That was another gospel, because grace is no, if grace and works are not compatible. If it is of grace, then it's not of works. If it's of works, then it's not of grace. But for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when people add baptism to the Lord's Supper, the Christian denomination or the Disciples of Christ or many Pentecostal churches, they say you got to be saved. You got to be baptized. You know, ask them when you were saved. You ever notice, ask people when they're saved and they'll say, I got baptized in such and such. What are they telling you? They're saying baptism is a part of salvation. No, no, you have to be born again before you can get baptized. You have to be saved before you can get baptized. If you have to get baptized to get saved, well, then you aren't saved. That's another gospel. There's these people trying to get the people at Corinth all mixed up. In Galatians, he said it, who hath bewitched you? That you are so soon removed from the precious gospel to another. And notice it says, verse 13, it says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, Satan doesn't go around with a red pajama suit and a pitchfork and a cattail. Did you know that? No, he makes himself look like a pure angel. You know, it's amazing. I always find it amazing that most false teachers are really nice guys. They're really nice guys. Nice, nice people. Usually they're really gentle and kind and don't raise their voice ever. Oh, they're just so sweet. Well, they're certainly deceptive. That's not where you get the truth from. But notice it says that there are many false prophets and that they need to be warned of that. Now notice he tells us that how do you identify them? How do you identify these false prophets? And he tells us that you identify them by their doctrine. And in this case, he tells us specifically a specific doctrine that you can identify the Gnostics, and it's the doctrine of Christ. Verse 2, hereby you know the Spirit of God. There's many spirits, but what about the Spirit of God? How do you know which is the Spirit of God? Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus is come in the flesh is of God. Every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So these false prophets. One thing we need to understand about false prophets is they're really centered around the person of Jesus Christ and who he is. Now, people throw the word cult around pretty, freely today. They don't even know what they're talking about. But there is such a thing as a cult. But what is a cult? The true definition of a cult, and you probably can talk to experts who've written on this, a cult is a religious group that denies the deity of Jesus Christ. They deny his real identity. Jehovah's Witnesses, a lot of nice people in that group, very much deceived, but they deny that Jesus Christ is divine. They deny his deity. They say he is a little God. Well, that's not possible. That would be make them false right there. The Mormons are very nice people, very, very wholesome, many of them. But they say that Jesus is the brother. Satan and Jesus are brothers. Well, that's pretty absurd, and it's not true. And it's not even close to true. These groups deny the deity of Jesus Christ. And he says, how do you identify them? You identify them by their doctrine. You identify them by their doctrine. What do they teach? What is their doctrine? Now, we live in a day, because of the spirit of the age, in which the ecumenical movement is having an effect upon all of Christianity. There is a de-emphasis on doctrine and an acceptance, an amalgamation of all false doctrines into Christianity. And if you read just this last couple weeks how the Pope has signed this document that basically says all religions are seeking the same God. And that includes Hinduism and Islam and everything, which is really absurd, okay? But 2 John, let's look there real quickly. Verse 9, emphasis on the doctrine of Christ. Whosoever transgresses and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abides in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. Now, there's the question is, how do you... You know, how far do you take this? There are those people who say there is no fire in hell. Well, Jesus said, the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Doesn't that make Jesus a liar if you say there is no fire in hell? What about things like that? Or what about the fact of evolution? What about evolution? Jesus said that he that created them in the beginning made them male and female. Jesus said that creation is a fact. And man was made fully developed, male and female, Adam and Eve. Does that make Jesus a liar if you say that evolution is true? Yes. How can you have God if you deny the doctrine of Christ? Jesus said the word of God is true. And if you say it's not true, you have denied his sinlessness. You've denied his identity. This is a pretty serious thing then. Now, it says, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Now, it's just not a mere intellectual acknowledgement of the fact that he is flesh. Now, we talked about in Sunday school, Jesus had to take on flesh because he had to die. And the penalty of sin is death. And the Messiah was going to be of the seed of the woman. And it was the seed of the woman that was going to bruise the head of Satan. Jesus had to take on human flesh. He had to become flesh in order to die to pay the penalty for our sins. Because, you know, God can't die. He had to take on human flesh. And to say that he didn't take on flesh is to deny his blood atonement, is to deny that he died, that he paid the penalty for sin. Wow, you've just thrown away the whole Bible, right? You've thrown away salvation. It's not just some mere little thing. And you know, certainly it encompasses this very fact of receiving and accepting and believing on him and making him your Lord and Savior. Now, so we have the fact that you identify these people. You need to identify them. Now, a part of that identity is their doctrine, and that is really important. And we will, and that's why it says in verse 1 John, it says, "Try, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, test them out, test the spirits out." Now, we're getting ahead of ourselves. We might come back to this, but how do you test the spirits? How do you test the spirits? You test the spirits by the Bible. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 8. And this is not a new problem. In the Garden of Eden, the devil tried to contradict God and tell them that they weren't going to die if they took the forbidden fruit. And he contradicted God, telling them that God was withholding them something that they needed. But in Isaiah chapter 8, verse 20, it says, "To the law and to the testimony, if they speak not according to this word, it is because there is no light in them." Now, that's very significant. It reminds us of a Hosea chapter 4 and verse 12. It says, "My people die because of lack of knowledge." You know, how could people, the typical so-called Christian today, how could he even test the spirits when the typical evangelical goes to a church that's all about entertainment, and they're saying the same thing over and over and over. They're not teaching the whole counsel of God's word. Most of the people don't read their Bible. How could they even test the spirits? They don't even know the Bible. They don't even know the Bible. They think Christianity is an experience. They think Christianity is, you know, just do some shouting and jumping around. No. You need to know your Bible, amen? And you need to know it well enough so you don't believe the twisting lies of the devil. And the devil is pretty subtle. And we've already read how that very issue. But notice the thing that is really, that stands out is the source of these false prophets, the source of their words, the source of their message. Notice it says here, it says, we read verse 4, ye are of God, little children, and you have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Oh, now, who is in the world? That's the devil. They, that's the false prophets, are of the world. Therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. Now, it tells us the source of their message. The source of their message. It tells us that their source of their message is the devil and the world. That's the source of their message. Now, I'd like to kind of make that a little bit easier to understand. Okay? You know, when it says, and we kind of put this together, but, you know, what is the world's message? What is the world's message? What is the message that the world hears? And why is it appealing to them? Well, you know, when The mega church movement started down there in Illinois. What they did was they took a survey of that area. And they went to the unsaved people and they said, what don't you like about church? And what would you like church to be like? And they took the consensus of what these people said, unsaved people. And unsaved people said, you know, we would like to go, we don't like to go to a church where I get preached at. We don't want to get preached at. We don't want conviction. We don't want, you know, preaching. We don't want, you know, hard application. We don't want that. And they said, you know, we would like to, you know, we don't like this, you know, these old-fashioned hymns. You know, we would like to feel like we're at a concert. That's what we'd like. And, you know, we don't like, we don't like that, you know, the organ and the piano. We want, you know, something really, you know. And, you know, we don't want to feel like we're at church. So, get rid of the pews. And, you know, we'd like to be entertained. Have some popcorn, soda for the kids. You know, just an enjoyable experience. And that's how Willow Creek Council of Churches was formed. They went to the world, unsaved people, and asked them what they wanted in a church that would make it acceptable to them. Well, that's what it means. They are of the world, unsaved people, and they hear the voice of the world. Okay? So, you know, this is pretty real. What appeals to you? You know, young person, what appeals to you? What voice do you hear? Well, the world, the Bible says, lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. And what is that voice? Well, it could be lots of different things. It could be, you know what? I don't really care about the Bible. You know? What would they want to hear about? Well, maybe whatever's going on. Video games. Entertainment. You know, those are the things that appeal. That's what they want to hear about. They want to hear about the Bible. They want to hear about truth. Now you got to put this in a religious setting. Now put this in a religious setting. How is it that people want to hear that they can do something to get to heaven? You know, that's appealing. That appeals to the pride of man. You can do something. And so, you know, it seems crazy. But that is the world. The world wants to do something to get to heaven. No matter how weird it is, how strange it is, if you can do something to get to heaven instead of repenting of your sin and admitting you're a lost sinner there and you're bound for hell and only Jesus can save you, people want to do something. Yeah. Can you imagine President of India? I don't know how many engineering degrees he has, but you know, he washes his hair in cow urine. Yeah. That's a part of what you do to have your sins forgiven. There's a religion out there, and that you get to heaven. If you're a lady, you can't get to heaven unless you're married. And therefore, polygamy is fine. Because that is the key. And there's other religion that has seven sacraments. And you keep those seven sacraments and you might earn your way to heaven. And then after you die, you have to have people pay money for a mass to be said to get you out of purgatory. Who would do those things? People who want to do something to make themselves feel good enough that they can earn their way to heaven. But no one's going to get to heaven that way. A person has to come to the place where they realize that they deserve to go to hell. And there's nothing they can do to erase their horrible sins. And that they're born with a sinful heart. And they need a new heart. And the only one that can save them from their sins is Jesus, who died on the cross and rose again. The message of the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. Yeah. And the world heareth them. And you know what? I like birthday parties. And I can say that because there's nothing in the Bible that says you can't have a birthday party. But you know, if you're a Jehovah Witness, you can't have a birthday party. Right? And you'd have to say, well, boy, they're pretty desperate if they'll give up birthday parties just to be able to earn their way to heaven. But they've got plenty of people, right? Why do these false prophets, they come up with these crazy, crazy things that aren't in the Bible? Why do people listen to them? Because people that aren't saved, it appeals to them. It appeals to their pride. And why does this brand new Christianity that says it's okay to go to the bar? Why is this new kind of Christianity that says you can dress like the world? Why do people believe that stuff? Because it goes right with their flesh. That's the message their flesh wants to hear. They don't want to hear the real message. That's really what it's saying. And if you're a young person and you say, well, man, that I don't want to be a righteous, holy, strict Bible believer. Well, guess what? I do. I do. I love it. But if you're not saved, you're not going to hear that voice, are you? You don't want that voice. There's another voice that's appealing to you. And that voice is saying, it's crazy to get saved. It's crazy. Well, that voice won't do you much good when you die. Notice What it says, though, it tells us some great assurance for the people of God. This is a great verse, the assurance for the people of God. Ye are of God, verse 4, little children. I love that. You are of God. Ek, you're out of God. Your source of your birth is God. Little children, little born ones. You have a birth, a new birth, and you have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Now that word overcome is a great word because it has a great picture. It speaks of an obstacle. It speaks of this magnitude of all these different voices that are is filling the world. Okay? And but it's nothing. It's a battle. But it's an easily won battle. For who? The believer. Now, I always like to mention this. This is perfect tense. It means an action completed in the past with continuing results. That's the perfect tense. When you accepted Jesus Christ, you were placed in Christ, and now you are the overcomer. Amen? Amen. And it's never going to change. It has continuing results. You're not going to lose your salvation and not be an overcomer. You are an overcomer in Jesus Christ. I love it. Yeah, there's this battle. There's all these voices. But what does it say? It says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You know who that is? The Holy Spirit. Amen? You know, I love it. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your religious background is. You know, your dad could have been the Archbishop of Bohemia. It doesn't matter who your dad was, how big he was, where you were raised, what you were raised in. When you get saved, you have the power to overcome every and all obstacles. All false teaching is just a stepping stone to go forward. Doesn't matter if you're saved as a Catholic or Lutheran or Mormon or wherever you were saved or your background was a drug dealer or whatever, when you get saved, you're an overcomer. And those things that would normally keep a person down is just now a stepping stone. You know, I'm a Baptist preacher. I wasn't raised in a Baptist home. When I went to Bible college, I didn't even know where the books of the Bible were. When I went to Bible college, the preacher would announce a text in chapel, and this young lady, Rachel Knight, sat next to me in chapel. I'd take my Bible a lot of times, and I just hand it to her. And she'd find the place in the Bible. I didn't know where it was. You know, I was raised in, when I first got saved, first thing I did, went to interdenominationalism, new evangelicalism. Today, that group is CRU. And, wow. I was raised in a Pedobaptist home. Baptized babies. You know, I'm a Baptist. You know why? Because the Bible says after you're saved, you get baptized by immersion. You know, it doesn't matter what all those other voices say. It didn't matter. It doesn't matter how many people are laughing at you and mocking you and going the different direction. I remember the day I said to my Lutheran friend, my best friend in Christian friend in college, my best Christian friend in the university. I said, Mark, I want you to know, last week I got baptized. And Mark said to me, don't you ever talk about that again. His dad was a Missouri Synod Lutheran pastor. Lost my best friend. You know, the truth isn't matter on any circumstances. It's in the Bible. Amen? And every issue in life can be against you believing the truth and following the truth. But guess what? He that is in you is greater than he that is in the world. Amen? What an assurance that we have in Jesus Christ. All these voices. You know, it says, verse 6, we are of God. The apostles who gave the scriptures. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Of course, the issue was the apostles were giving the scriptures and there are those who are rejecting them. Nope. You know, I was thinking about that. This whole idea. When you're of God, you know His voice. You know His voice. You recognize His voice. You know His voice. And you listen to His voice. You ever say to your child, didn't you hear what I just said? You ever say that to them? Didn't you hear? You know, you tell them something and they do something different. And you say, didn't you hear what I said? Well, you know what? They heard it with their ears, but they didn't hear what you said. Right? And there's a fellow, eccentric fellow that used to be a part of our church, and he used to say this. I don't think he got it from the Bible, but it's pretty good. He said, he used to say, Pastor, you know what? When you preach, some people hear what they thought you said. And some people hear what they wanted to hear. And some people heard what you really said. Now, that's what it means when it says, he that is of God heareth us. They heard what they really said. You understand what I'm saying? They didn't make it out to be something different. You know what I'm saying? You know, people have their own ideas. But I didn't hear what it really says. Who is it that really, you know what? I can't figure it out. It still is a dilemma to me how people can say that they're saved and read what the Bible says about believers' baptism and still believe in infant baptism. They aren't hearing. They aren't hearing it. A dear lady, this helps you. Illustrated. I'll try to get off of this too quickly here. But a dear lady got saved, and she's going to get baptized, join the church. And we always meet with people under those circumstances, and we study the Bible, a discipleship course. And After a couple times, she said to me, you know, today, Pastor, I was reading my Bible. And you know, the Bible said that baptism washes away sins. And I says, well, where were you reading? You know, show me where you're reading. And so she took me to, repent and be converted, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, that your sins may be blotted out. That was the verse. And she quoted, we looked at the verse and I said to her, I don't see the word baptism in that verse at all. And she looked at it. She says, you know what? It isn't in there. She thought she read it, but it wasn't there. Because all her life she heard the voice of the world. But when she got saved and you pointed out to her, she could hear the voice of God. And so as we put this in context today, we are reminded there's a lot of voices out there. And you better know the Bible. I know it's a sad thing when a church starts listening to the voice of the world. And churches start operating, listening to the voice of the world. And I believe that's happening in many churches today. They're listening to the voice of the world. In fact, 2 John 4 says that that will be the characteristic of the last day. And I think it's worth just reading 2 Timothy 4. It says, verse 2, preach the word. Of course, mega churches don't say preach. They say, you know, share the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove. Oh, there's conviction. That's a no-no. Rebuke, that's a no-no. Exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, there's the voice of the world, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables, the words of men. That's the danger. Many false prophets. But notice also Psalm 1 as we close. The theme throughout the Bible, these voices. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. What voice are you listening to? What voice are you listening to? You listening to the voice of the ungodly? Those people on their way to hell? You're listening to the voice of those who mock God, mock truth, mock holiness, the scorners? Are you listening to that voice? What voice are you listening to? Is that what registers in your mind? You know, oh yeah, what are they going to think? You know, don't be like the judges out there. They're supposed to be keeping the laws instead of listening to what the consequences are going to be. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. Yes, there's the voice of God, through the word of God. That still small voice of the Holy Spirit, who uses the word of God. What voice do you hear? What voice do you want to hear? What voice do you listen to? What voice do you comprehend? You know, The Bible says the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. You know, in order to really have an ear for the truth of the Bible and to be able to understand it, that it's more than just religious stuff. You know what I mean? Religious stuff. You have to be saved. You have to be born again. And when you get born again, you're no longer the natural man, the way you're born. You're supernatural. You've been born of God. And the Spirit of God lives within you. And now, that's the voice that you look for. You know, I always wondered if, you know, what babies in the womb, you know, what they comprehend. I always was amazed how John the Baptist was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. But you know, I remember one of our children. I don't remember a lot about life, to tell you the truth. My life had been so full, it's hard to remember some things. But I do remember one thing that's very stuck out in my mind. One of our children was born, and I'm not sure who it was, but they were born, and they were crying. And it might have been Melissa who had the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. I'm not sure. Traumatic birth. But she was in the nurse's arms crying. And I just said something to her. And immediately she calmed down. Because all those 9 months, she had heard my voice. She knew the voice of that nurse, but she knew the voice of her father. And that voice was reassuring, and she recognized it. And when you get saved, now you know the voice of God. Now you know the voice of God. That's God's word. That's the God. That's the truth. And if you are here, that may be the big issue for you, is to be truly saved. And when you're truly saved, your ear picks up on this voice. Amen. And not only... And that listening voice is one who hears what's really said with the intent of obeying what it says. That's what it's all about. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to look at this huge issue that is so appropriate for today. So many voices, but the joy, Lord, the assurance that the believer has, because the Holy Spirit who lives in him is greater than he that is in the world, the devil. And Lord, through the right application of obedience and study and surrender and prayer, all the false voices and messages will be overcome by your grace. And now, Lord, there may be some here today who have yet to come to know you personally and to know your voice. Maybe they have begun to hear that voice of conviction and they rejoice in it. But to have the Spirit of God permanently dwelling in their heart as a child of God, Lord, to lead them in the truth, to lead them forward. What a great thing it is in this mixed up world that we live in. And so, Lord, we pray for that precious soul, those souls that need to be saved. We pray, Lord, for those who are unsaved, and to them, the things of the world are appealing. But all those things will end at the end of life, and much with tragedy. And they're neglecting to want to hear the voice of eternity, God Himself. Lord, work in these hearts. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today, and you have been encouraged as a believer. To hear and to obey and to follow the voice of God. To get in the Bible. Study the Bible. Don't worry about the voices of the world. Obey what God has said. And the steps of the righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And God is speaking today about drowning out all those voices of the world and listening to the one voice that counts, God's voice, through the Bible. And there's an important decision you need to make. And even today, as a believer, you've been listening to the voice of the world instead of the voice of God. And God has spoken to you. Say, you know what? I need to just listen and believe and trust in what God has said. Say, Pastor, pray for me. That's the dilemma, the situation I'm in. And I need today just in sweet assurance and peace, just obey what God says. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God has spoken to my heart today. There's an important decision. Okay? Praise the Lord for that. Others? Amen. Amen. Perhaps you're here today and you have yet to come to Jesus Christ as your Savior. Yep, there's all these voices telling you not to and why you ought not to. They all lead you just to destruction. Today, the Spirit of God is speaking to you about your need to accept Christ as your Savior. Would you pray for me, you say, by an uplifted hand, and I'll pray for you as we close the service. Anyone here? Okay, God bless you. Anyone else? Lord, thank you for the great truth of the Word of God, that we could look at it and study it and be helped. Pray that you would work in the hearts of those making decisions. And Lord, I pray that you would be with those that, Lord, are seeking for you to work in their life, so they can come to that place of true faith, simple childlike faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. May it be so even today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.